Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Created man, Genesis, the Bible says God created man, and the word used as man in Genesis 1 is a generic term. It means male and female. So when God said, and God created man, he means man and woman, or male and female. That is why when you go to Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, and God created man. Then God explains, male and female created he them. So scripture will say, and God created man, but he would go further and say, male and female created he them. That is why Jesus, they asked Jesus a question. They said, a man had a wife, and in that season and that time, if a person died, the brother of the man that died will inherit the wife. And they asked Jesus, they said, a man died and left his wife. She didn't have any children. So the idea was to marry that woman and have children for the man. So when you have children, the children will bear the name of the man that died. And they said, this man died and didn't have children. And his brother married his wife. And the Bible says, all the seven brothers married that woman. It wasn't a true question. It's just this thing. So they said, in heaven, whose wife is she going to be? Now that all the seven have married her. And Jesus answered to them and said, you err, for you know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. I wish I had time. I would have stopped here to talk on marriage. He said, you err, for you know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. He said, because in heaven, there is no marriage. Amen. He said, there is no giving in of marriage. Be careful about things that do not have eternal consequence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you want to marry that unbeliever, remember, you will die. Be careful about things that don't have eternal consequence. So Jesus said, in heaven, there's no marriage. No giving in of marriage. He said that there's no man and there's no female. There's no male and there's no female. He said, because all men will be like the angels. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in the creation of man, God did not, there's no, in the spirit of a human being, there's no female spirit. There's no male spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's just spirit. Amen. And it's that spirit that will return to God. So there's just spirit. Praise God. But in the physical expressions of that spirit, some have been released to manifest as male man. Is that okay? And some others have been released to manifest as female man. Are we understanding that? That is why I tell women that you are the only people that have the privilege to both be women and men. Are you understanding me? A woman has the attributes of a man, but there are attributes of men, of women, that men don't have. Almost every attribute a man has, a woman has. Almost everyone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So, but in the creation of God, in the order of manifestation, the man, the male man, was first revealed or first manifested. Are you understanding that? And there are a number of reasons why God manifested the male man first. Are we understanding that? And when God created man, God said to man, be fruitful. Are you hearing me? Now the life of every fruit is in the seed. Are you hearing me? And one of the reasons why the man was first manifested is because the man is the carrier of the seed. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I wish we had time this morning so that I can sit on this. So that I can tell every man to be careful because he is the carrier of seeds. Amen. The woman is the incubator of the seed, but the man is the carrier of the seed. And the carrier of the seed determines the characteristics of the seed. Hallelujah. Amen. Means that how your seed eventually turns out is determined more by you than by the woman. The assignment of the woman is to put flesh on that seed. Amen. But coming back to what I'm sharing with us this morning is that God released the male man first, and the male man had an assignment, and that is that the male man was released first, and therefore, because he was released first, he was the first prototype of God, from God, of how man, the human race, ought to look like. In other words, the male man was given the responsibility to model, are you hearing me? The dominion mandate. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And so therefore, when the man was released to model the dominion mandate, the natural capabilities or abilities that make the man, are you hearing me? That make the man to be able to manifest those characteristics, the abilities that make the man to be able to manifest those characteristics, the male man began naturally to have those characteristics as part of him. And part of what you will know about man is that one of the things you realize about the male, is that right? Is the natural ability to manifest power and dominion. In other words, when a When a man is doing anything, are you getting me? The first thing you realize about the male man or about the male is that this person carries power. Whether it is physical might or influence, is that okay? But there is a form of aura of power around the man. Not only that men manifest power or strength, is that right? Also, you will discover that when a woman is manifesting, a woman's first type of manifestation is not to desire to manifest strength. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A woman's manifestation, the first thing a woman wants to manifest is softness. First thing a woman wants to manifest is beauty. First thing a woman wants to manifest is attractiveness. Are you getting me? A man doesn't care about attractiveness. Well, most men, except you are on the other side of the men. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you are a normal man, ask your neighbor, are you a normal male man? Are you a normal male man? Because are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. The male, are you getting me? Because the male manifests strength. Is that okay? One day I was meditating. You know, Delilah was sent to get information from Samson. How did she get it? Chinya. Are you getting me? The Bible says she... You read your Bible. Samson never slept with Delilah. The Bible never records it. The Bible didn't record that Samson slept with Delilah. It was never written there. It was never written there. It's a message for another day. It's the reason why, oh God. It's part of the reason. Should I go into it briefly? Listen to me. All you women who your ministry is being tough to your husbands, you are losing that husband to somebody who is creating an accommodating atmosphere around him. Let me leave it there. I should add more. Hallelujah. Listen to me. It is very easy to keep a man around you. Create a place he can rest around you. If a man cannot find rest around you, and you know what you do to destroy. You know how you don't create a resting place? One, your attitude. The first thing that makes a man run away from a woman is not what she says. It's her attitude. Are you getting my point? Edward, go out. You are coming home. Come and knock. This is the door of your house. Come and knock. I'm your wife for this service. Just for the time I'm preaching. Knock the door. Has she said anything? How do you feel about it? Don't you feel like going back to where you came from? So many men are drinking because of their wives. Yes, they go. Are you getting my point? Your attitude first, your attitude. Your attitude. Your husband comes home. You are lying down. I'm about to say something here. And you have the spirit to point to the man where his food is. Let's leave this matter. First, your attitude. Second is your words. Listen to me. Your words are greater than anything you will contribute in that family. And an average man doesn't care about your money. Actually, what you say, listen to me. Anybody can tell anything to your husband. He can stand it. But when your wife or the woman you are in love with speaks carelessly to the man, the number one thing that breaks a man are the words of his wife. Have I tried, sir? I will leave this matter here and continue with other matters. And you know, some women know it. Are you getting me? So they weaponize what they say. They weaponize it to cause the greatest damage possible. And let me tell you, I've said it here. There are things your husband may never tell you that you did to him. Because sometimes in our own pride as men, we don't want to be able to tell that this was what you did that changed me towards you. And I can tell you that 90% of it was something you said. Was something you said that he never told you. So let's go back to Delilah. Did you notice that Delilah never slept with Samson? It's never written that Delilah slept with Samson. She just created. Did you notice that? And read your Bible. The Bible says that Delilah did it for many months. It was not one time. It was for a long time. Which means Delilah created a safe, comfortable, peaceful space. That means that, and let me tell you something that you need to notice there, that Delilah was a Philistine. And the Philistines were the arch enemies of Samson, not even Israel. Samson was a wanted man in Philistine. Which means for Samson to come to Delilah's house, Samson had to dodge, escape, avoid to come to Delilah's place. But he is willing to endanger himself to come to Delilah because Delilah created a space that he felt at peace. So when are you hearing what I'm saying? When you say, don't you know you are going? It's not that he does not know that there is trouble. It's that he knows that this is the only place I can rest with you. So every time I'm around you, I am just waiting for the day I will escape. I will escape your rudeness. I will escape your lack of care, your lack of concern, your lack of consideration, your lack of understanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And let me say this, that as your husband grows, an older man needs more care than a younger man. For those of you that are married 10 years, 15 years, and you think that the man doesn't, in fact, the older a man, let me tell you something, let me get you to understand this. Let me have two protocols, let me show you something. Charity, you know I'm going to call you. You already know that one. Come, sir. Come. Listen to me. Come here. Let me show you something. Maybe I'll just close from here. When a man, listen to me, and there's something that is done unconsciously, but I think that there's a divine order in it. Most of the time, men will marry a woman that is younger than them. I don't know where it started, but I think there's a divine order to it. Now listen to me. In terms of care and nurture, when two people marry, go down. The man, so when you marry, the man resists the woman up. But as the woman is coming up, what actually happens is that the man is going down. So when a man is becoming older, are you hearing me? He may be, can you stay? Okay, just stand up. When a man is getting older, listen carefully. A man may be more successful because a man literally dies to become successful. So your strength, you know, your physical strength, your intellectual abilities, everything you put into it to rise to success. And you rise to success so that you become a covering for your home and community. Now listen. The man gets to a particular point where he has exerted all of that. Now listen. It then becomes the risk. At that, funny enough, at that particular point, as he raises this woman also on a normal day, the woman has also become of stature. So by the time the woman is becoming of stature, this man's physical, intellectual, and other ability, let me say intellectual, but physical, and then his ability to run around is actually going down. Now, there then becomes the responsibility of the woman to uphold this man. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. It is the very reason, please listen to me, is the very reason why you notice that some men will marry a woman at their older age. And you will be wondering, whether he is widowed or not, you'll be wondering, why is this man married now? This thing is that the older a man is, the more care the man needs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more care, are you getting what I'm saying? But there is a mistake older women make. They think that now that they have, it almost, and let me show you this, and it's funny. It almost looks like when they arrive at the place of stature, when the woman has now become maybe a director, or she has become this, or she's earning well, or something. Let me tell you the part of the problem. It almost looks as if all you were waiting for was for this man to raise you up. Most of the time, at this point, the woman actually abandons the man and begins to face her children, her business, her concerns. Are you understanding what I'm saying? No, you don't understand. Many of you have never really sat with an older man to tell you his pains. So he looks at this woman that he carried when she didn't go to school. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He put her through school. He started a business for her. Or he fought to get her a job. Are you getting me? Now she has risen up. Now she has become something. But when she finally became something, she decided it was time to abandon him. That is the pain that older men go through. Thank you, guys. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. Many times, because of a man's pride, he will not say it. He will not tell you. He will not tell you. And it's the reason why you will discover that if you're a young girl, take what I'm saying and put inside your pocket. If you're a younger woman, take what I'm saying and put inside your pocket. It's the reason why when men become older, they tend to look for somebody. Even, do you know that even David, in his old age, they went and brought one young girl. Be careful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All men are not promiscuous. Sometimes our attitudes push men into certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I get back to Jezebel? So Jezebel, you will not find it. Delilah, sorry. You will not find Delilah sleeping with him once. She used her softness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. When a woman tries to be strong, it's actually counterproductive. The strength of a woman is in her softness. All this time that you are talking to your husband, you cannot try it. You cannot try it. You are fighting the man in his turf. You have left your place of strength. A woman's place of strength is in her softness. You don't win a man by fighting him. You have lost the battle before it started. You have lost the battle before it started. That is why sometimes when a man just wants to settle the matter, since you are strong, one slap settles it. One slap settles the whole thing. So, are you understanding what I'm saying? So, Delilah knew it. She didn't fight. Just imagine if it was a man that was supposed to bring out the secret out of Samson. What do you think that would be? How is a man going to bring it? It's torture. It was that day I discovered men created torture. Because a man uses strength to get results. A woman uses her softness to get results. That is why even in pastoral counseling, once a woman begins to cry, if you are a wise pastor, you start running away. Because a man was not designed to resist a woman's tears. And that's why even women that are criminals have learnt it. Nothing is happening, just start crying. The man says, okay. Because he doesn't want to be put in that condition. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to make a point. The point is that the man, in the dominion mandate of God, the man was designed, are you hearing me, to project power, to project strength, to project might. Are you hearing me? But now, in executing that reality, many men have misunderstood how that power ought to be exercised. So, the book of 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, I think, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at that. Before we look at 1 John, let's go to Daniel. We are talking about, man being that prototype of power. Daniel 11, 32. Daniel 11, 32. So, listen, when a man of strength, Abel, are you hearing me? A man of strength is not the true strength of man, because man reflects the image and the likeness of God. Are you hearing me? God does not show us his power or his greatness by his physical might. Are you hearing me? There are times and seasons that God displays his might, but it's not every day. Is that okay? As such as do wickedly against the covenant shall by corrupt daughters, but the people that do know their God, but the man that knows God shall be strong. The man that knows God, and when we say that knows God, we're not saying you know that there's a God that exists. We're saying you know the nature of God. You know how God operates. You know the law of God. The man that knows God shall be strong, and he shall do what? Exploits. So now let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How does God reveal his power to us? How does God reveal his power to us? It's very interesting. Behold. You know what behold means? Come and see. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Listen to me. God has power. Okay? God is powerful. You know, there are certain attributes that God does not have. God is. How many of you have been on sea before? You have been on the sea. You have traveled, you got on a ship on a sea. Have you seen the sea before? I remember the first time I went close to the sea. I saw once 3-story or 5-story building, and the building was moving. I didn't know that it was a ship. The lower parts of the ship had already been submerged. I was just seeing this building coming towards us. I didn't know. Have you been on a great body of water? That is just one of the display of God's power. Have you seen the things that God creates? One day we're trying to immunize our dog in the house. Sir, myself, my two sons, and Dr. Amos, we couldn't hold that dog. One dog, we had already put the goose up, we couldn't hold it. How strong that animal is. And he is not the strongest of dogs. You don't know God. But when God chose to manifest himself, sir, he didn't choose to manifest himself as powerful. He chose to manifest himself as love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Not that we earned it, he bestowed it. Let me tell you something. When a man, you know, have you heard people saying, I don't want to show them so that they will not take things for granted? That was what God did. God bestowed it and risked our ability to take his love for granted. That is the love of God. What now? Behold, what manner? It means that there are different types of love. That God chose a particular manner of love. So when it comes to God, are you hearing what I'm saying? When it comes to God showing his love, God chose a particular type of love to show to you. And when you read scripture, the dominant theme about God, beginning from the book of Psalms, you begin to see a revelation of the love of God. He said, as far as the west is from the east, so has he taken our iniquities far from us. He said, have you heard? Paul was speaking about his love. He said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Listen to me. You ought to be able to love a person that the person will come to a point where the person cannot be irresponsible any longer because your love over that life is so much. What manner of love? I mean, Paul was speaking. He said, for what will separate us from the love of God? He said, neither depth nor height. He said, not person. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? When you read about the love of God, the love of God encircles you in such a manner that it leaves you without excuse. So I want to ask you today, what does your family, your community, your church, what do they know you for? Because some of us think that love means you're always frowning. Love means people are, when you are coming home, your children run away. Have anybody grown up in those kind of homes that you have even, you even know the sound of your father's car engine? That the moment your father's car is, if people are honing, you know the one that is for your father. The moment your father comes, everybody is sleeping by force. Whether even when you are watching a movie, you run in and sleep by force. No, that is not a revelation of a strong man. That is actually a weak man. You know why? How many of you notice that lions don't introduce themselves? Have you ever seen a lion saying, I'm a lion, no, be careful with me, I'm very dangerous. We're in Kenya, so we went to watch the lions. We went to the park. We didn't know that you had to come early. Because lions hunt at night and sleep during the day. So we went, by the time we arrived at the park, it was almost maybe 9 in the morning. And all the lions were sleeping. If you are passing, we moved around where we could find them. They would just raise their tail and do it like this. And their tail. That's just to let you know, stay where you are. We are resting. A lion does not need introduction. When you are a man, you don't need introduction. I say, when you are a man, you don't need introduction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you enter your house, the atmosphere changes. Order comes into place.
Children can be playing, their mother will be at home, they can be playing, jumping, throwing things here and there. But once the man enters the house, order comes in. That's a man. But now, with the realization of the power God has given you, the balancing of that power is your love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's your love. Let me say it to you. It's like, how many of you love hot food? When they serve you hot food, how many of you love, you don't like cold food, you don't like, you like hot, you like now I can see you are meditating over hot white rice. You can see the steam rising up. How many of you know that sacrifice of praise? There's, how many of you know that? Now, how many of you, because the rice is hot, you run away from it? Your love for the rice, even though it is hot, it brings you to it. Are you understanding? That is how when we know that our Father is loving, when we know the value our Father has, even though He is powerful, we are still attracted to Him. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That's on the school children. They will be called the sons of God. They went to proper Sunday school.
That we should be called the sons of God.
Hey.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Yes,
that we should be called the sons of God.
Yes,
that we should be called the sons of God.
So there's a manner of love, are you hearing me, that we didn't qualify for it? Oh, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? But the Father did what? He bestowed it on us. And the Bible tells us the definition of that manner of love. That we, despite, in spite, regardless of who we are, should be called the sons of God. Do you know who sons are? This is how my son, PJ, when he wants something, said, "Daddy, that bicycle you said you were going to buy for me." Me and him never sat down at any point to talk about buying him a bicycle. There was no discussion like that. Oh, if you understand it. And do you know why that boy has that? It's the love that you carry that gives him a confidence that there is nothing he will ever come to you for that you will not be able to provide for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you have the capacity to, the love that you carry has put you an ability that you can lay down your life for him. He just comes and says, "Daddy, that bicycle, so we want me and you." He came the other day, said, "Hey, Daddy, there's a new craving you said you are going to take." Me, ice cream spot. When did we have that conversation? I think there are a list of things that he agreed with me in the spirit. Every day he brings out a new one. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So the revelation of a father, sir, is not a revelation of how mighty and how powerful he is. In fact, it's not how rich you are. What is the use of a rich father that I cannot jump on his head? Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, I'm asking you a question. When last did you go home and let your children climb your back and you do donkey for them? Listen to me. It's a stronger expression of a father than taking them on vacation. When last did you play soccer? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? is a stronger expression, because how God decided, even though he is all powerful, the manner he decided to reveal himself to us, first and foremost, is his love towards us. It was not his might. It was not his wealth. It was not even his glory, sir. What he decided to manifest to us, how we should know him, is his love towards us. Sir, it was in his love that he displays us. You're not understanding. It's actually the love of God that disciplines us. Let me tell you something. The first sign that God does not love you, or that God loves everybody. So that's not a proper way to put it. But listen to me. A sign that a father does not love you is that he actually doesn't care what happens to you or what you do. You see, when you look at Esau, are you hearing me? When you look at Esau and when you look at Jacob, the sign that God loved Jacob was that God followed Jacob every step of the way. Every time Jacob messed up, Jacob didn't get scot-free. But Esau, anything Esau wanted, one day, sir, God never called Esau to correct him. But because Jacob was a carrier, was a son, he was the carrier, God's eye was on Jacob. So when Jacob went and slept with Rachel and said he didn't know, they said, no problem, we'll add the other one for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When he was going, he met with the man dealt with him. So, are you hearing what I'm saying? The sign that God loves you. So the Bible said to us in Hebrews 12 that the Son, him whom the Father loves, are you hearing me? He whom the Father loves, he chastens him and he scourges him. That's what I was telling us last Sunday. Those of us who are in church or belong to churches, nobody is correcting you. Something is wrong. You are in the wrong place. You know what it means to chasten? You know what it means to scourge somebody? Is anybody hearing me? It's the Father's love that chastens you. When the Father loves you, you become the candidate for chastening. Because listen to me, the intentment behind the Father's heart concerning you is that you must be a proper representative of him. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The intentment behind the Father's love. Listen to me. A mother loves you for your comfort. A father loves you for his legacy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A father loves you so that the day he's not around, you can represent everything. Are you hearing me? That he is. That is why, listen to me, if God had not intervened, Jacob would have lost the thing. Because what Jacob grew up in his mother's love, Esau grew up in his father's love. People that inherit understand the father's love. Because are you hearing what I'm saying? What is at the back of the mind of the father? The father knows, I will exit this place anytime. So he does not raise his children. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He knows that time is counting. So the father raises you for legacy. So that tomorrow they can say, one day I went to a wedding. I went to a cousin's wedding and my father was already at the wedding before I went. So he was with his friends and they were talking. When I told my father I was going to ministry, he didn't say anything to me. He said, okay. Really, I came to the place and there were about 7 of them talking, you know, and I walked up to the place to greet them, and my father saw me, so I was greeting them, and I said, ah, that's my son. He said that he's a lawyer and he's a pastor. I didn't know he liked the idea that I was a pastor. He has never said anything. Are you getting my point? Because a father raises you for legacy. That's what scripture says to you. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He didn't say blessed is the woman. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Because they will answer the enemy at the gate. So the father is training you so that one day he can sit down. And you will respond to the enemy. The moment you begin to respond, you have arrived at sonship. The father's assignment is done. Are we understanding what I'm saying tonight? So our assignment as men, are you hearing me? When people cry under you, you are missing it. When people are struggling under you, I'm telling you, you are missing it. There are men who will intentionally not give a woman money as a way of control. You are missing it. Well, you've missed it. If nobody told you, you are missing it. You create difficult conditions because in your own wisdom, that's why I began by saying they that know their God. Because in your own wisdom, if you punish the woman, when you restrict her and you corner her, she will have fear for you. God does not elicit fear in us. God loves, God elicits loving obedience in us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Stop trying to make your wife fear you. Start trying to get your wife to a point where she can love you. And when your wife truly loves you, she submits to you without asking questions. It's not a question of lack of submission. It's actually a problem of lack of love. Is that the way you have treated me so far, I have not arrived at the point where I can abandon myself to your care and know that you care enough for me. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Can I say something to you? And it is not submission that actually comes first. It is love that comes first. We love him because he... You have to risk the rejection of your love. Even if you want to ask a girl out, you have to risk the fact that she may say no. That's why you are not moving, That's why you are not moving. You have been waiting for when the girl would. No, you must risk it first. And there is no guarantee. So don't wait for submission first. Love first. Don't wait for respect first. Love first. And you know, sir, love is not holding. Love is patient. When a woman measures your strength, she measures your strength by your capacity for patience. Love is kind. Love is humble all the time. Not easily angered. Enduring the test. Never forget. Love is the more excellent way. Let me tell you. Listen to me, man. You are celebrated when you die. If you are waiting, are you hearing what I'm saying? If when you die, they'll say, hey, this man was patient. This man. So all the men that are waiting for their women to clap for them, and that is not a license for you not to clap. The problem is that by the time you choose to clap, the person that should have received the clap may not be there to receive it. Clap now. that you can clap. Clap now that you can clap. Let me tell you, I can tell you this. Ask anybody. The value of a father is not known until he exits the stage. Ask any man sitting here. They will do anything to have their father. If their father has passed on, they will do anything to have their father and sit down with him. Because there are questions that only your father can answer. My father said something to me one time. I can't remember what was happening. I think they were having an issue with my mother and then something was happening. Then he said to me, he said, no problem. You will become a man one day. I don't know whether it was a curse or a blessing. I arrived at the point I was looking for him. And he said, you will become a man one day. He's a child that underestimates his father. And underestimates the sacrifices of his father. He's a child. When I say he's a child, I don't mean he's child. I mean that if you are underestimating the sacrifices of your father, you are just a child. Never forget, love is the more excellent way. Never forget, never forget. Love is the more excellent way. Never forget.
Never forget.
Yes.
Love is the more excellent way.
And when you think of a picture, as a man, think, have the picture in your mind that when you are not around, what will people think of you? And I know you want them to think of you as somebody who provided and somebody who, but can you think of yourself as somebody who your counsel was precious to them? Your time was precious to them. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can want to reveal that power. But can it be manifested as somebody? Oh, my father. So when you look at what Solomon did, he will begin to write and say, the things that my father taught me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. That's how I want to be remembered. I don't want to be just remembered as the man that paid school fees, the man that built a house. The man, no. I want to be remembered as the father who spent time with us, as a father who gisted with us, as a father who went out with us, as a father who we hugged, as a father who we played with. For me, is a more powerful thing to remember, and is a greater legacy to pass on. And I'm not saying it's not good to build a house and to buy. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's a greater legacy that you raised a people in character and in perspective in the way that God will, are you hearing me? That they will be useful for humanity and for the kingdom. Happy Father's Day. God bless you.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.